Have you ever felt dry? Summer heat has a way of sapping us. Our energy, our passion, our vitality. Maybe some of us in some way relate to Bill Murray's character in his 1992 movie, Groundhog Day. In this movie, Phil Connors is trapped. Every day he wakes up and it is the same day, February 2nd, Groundhog Day, again and again. He is forced to repeat the same events, the same routine, day after day. He experiences life's blandness, life's meaninglessness, and life's sadness. This monotony happens to all of us. We could feel stuck, empty, and hopeless. And then there's Psalm 23, a poem that challenges us, a poem that refocuses us, refreshes us, and renews our vision for God. This morning, I would like to share with you a bit of my journey with God. When I was 20 years old, I felt sapped. I was a full-time student at a Christian college, and because my mom didn't have the financial resources, I worked the early shift at UPS. Yes, I was a what can Brown do for you kind of man. And every morning from 3:30 a.m. to 6 a.m., I unloaded boxes and sorted them into the delivery trucks. The work was hard and demanding. On most days, I drove straight from work, took a quick shower, and barely made it to class by 8 a.m. Everything was fine for the first year. I even got an incredible internship at a church. So for a while, I kept up with my schoolwork, got up early, served the church, and hung out with my friends. But as December neared, things got tough. The boxes got bigger and the hours got longer. It was the Christmas season, after all. And the workload at school increased. Final exams and final papers. The sleep deprivation and extreme busyness began to catch up with me, and I started having a difficult time staying awake for classes. My grades suffered, and I didn't have time for family and friends. At this time in my Psychology 101 class, we covered a whole unit on grief and dying. Now, you know, these psychology classes can really mess up a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, you fill in the blank, and even an octogenarian. I realized that in class, I had never really grieved my father's death. My world began to crash down upon me. For the first time, the reality, or actually the finality, of my father's death hit me. What's more, I felt a lot of grief. After all, I was a Bible major. I came to college to help people with their relationships with God. After all, the good people of the church had prayed for me, had cared for me, had given money so that I could go to a Christian school. But I was unsure about my future, unclear about my purpose and calling. I was sapped. I wonder today, I wonder what's your story. I wonder when you have felt sapped along life's journey. When we find ourselves in this old familiar place, how do we move past the desert of dreariness to the abundant springs of hopefulness? The good news that I proclaim to you today is that God refreshes, refocuses, and renews our lives. The gospel, according to Psalm 23, is that God is present in our sweat and in our struggle, in our melancholy and in our mistrust, offering us life and life abundant. But the journey is not always easy. And as we journey with God, we hear again those words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, shepherd is a metaphor, a way of thinking about God. A shepherd, especially in the land of Palestine, a land that depended on livestock for survival, was someone who provided guidance and protection. It was someone who was committed to the flourishing of the sheep, someone who watched over the sheep. Just like a choir director who seeks to develop each voice within the choir for the good of the whole. Many of you know quite personally what it's like to raise, nurture, grow, and sell livestock. But there's more to this little poem. There's more to this image. The shepherd boy David, the poet of this psalm, declares his allegiance to God who is a shepherd. God is someone who cares in the midst of life's waves, someone who provides guidance, oversight, protection, someone who refocuses us and gives us life in its fullest dimensions. David, in a radical moment of trust, declares that the Lord is my shepherd. He declares that he wants to be a part of what God is doing upon the earth. He wants to be a part of God's team. Getting back to my story, one day in late December, I felt the clouds of doubt surround me. I needed a resource beyond myself to keep going. And as I drove to school to face another final exam, I thought seriously about quitting, throwing in the towel. After all, life was hard, and I was sapped. And in that strange moment, as the beautiful peaks of the Rocky Mountains were aglow with the early morning light, I remembered this psalm, and I declared faintly, faintly within my heart, "The Lord is my shepherd. He can meet my needs." My heart felt warm, and apparently my foot was heavy, because before I knew it, the flashing lights of the Denver Police Department were flagging me over. But let me tell you today, that was the most peaceful ticket I've ever received, the best $55 I've ever spent. When we make this simple profession, it is only the beginning of a lifelong journey with God towards new life. As we continue this journey with God, we overhear these words: "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." We notice that the first stop after understanding that God is a shepherd is rest. God is the one active. He makes us lie down. God leads us beside still waters. And God restores our souls. We are simply called to take time in our busy schedules to rest. God doesn't, as we would expect as good Americans, increase our capacity to produce. But God invites us to rest. And when we rest, we cement God's parental care in our hearts. We realize that contrary to what our culture tells us, God truly can meet our needs. As we journey with God from the mountaintop of rest, we return to the valley of reality. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Our journey has taken us from revelation, God as a shepherd, to rest, and now to the most pressing realities of life: darkness. All of us will face difficulties, trials, and challenges in life. There's no escaping it. This is the reality of life. But Jesus, our good shepherd, meets us in these dark valleys and offers us life and life abundant. The Christian journey is rooted in the here and now. It's about learning how to work God's love into our hearts and our hands, our heads and our feet. It matters how we treat others, our friends, family, and our neighbors. It matters what we do with our money. It matters how we respond when the chips are down. Somehow, some way, the mystery of God's loving presence meets us in those low places and transforms us. We become deep people, people marked by integrity, character, hope, and love. People unafraid of what tomorrow might bring. The psalm reminds us that it's in the valleys where we come to know our shepherd. But we don't stay in those valleys. The psalm teaches us we walk through those valleys with our shepherd. We come to trust the shepherd's lead of love. And we come to learn that whatever the future holds, we can stand tall and confident, fearing no one. So it turns out that my difficulties as a 20-year-old shaped me, formed me. But there's still more. As we journey with God, we overhear, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." As the reality of life's difficulties become clear, we take a step of repentance. Repentance is a fancy word for changing our minds and our actions about something. The valley of despair has a way of exposing us, our weaknesses, our frailties, our vulnerabilities. But when we are immersed in God's loving, life-giving streams, we can take steps towards growth and change. As a 20-year-old, I had a lot of rough edges. The truth is, I still have a lot of rough edges. But I learned in those forming years that I needed to work on these painful places. I went and saw a counselor to deal with the pain of losing my dad. I joined a small group of guys to live in accountability with. And I sought out study groups that could help me become a better and more disciplined student. And even though it was tough and always humbling, God's presence was there. God's faithful hand guiding my steps. God nudges us with the rod and the staff for our own personal and communal growth, just like a good parent. As the psalm teaches us, the focus shifts from me-centered needs to radical other-centeredness. When we are refocused in God's love, we learn to love our family, our friends, and even those most difficult to love, our neighbors, those we think are difficult or odd or different. After all, our Lord and Savior commanded us to love our enemies. And when this happens, our good shepherd gifts us again with harmony and reconciliation with those we sometimes don't like. As we journey with God, we come to one final stop, and we overhear, "Surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." The God poem ends as the God poem began, with God's parental love covering our entire lives, from our birth to our death and beyond. Even in the darkest valley, even when we are sapped, God refreshes, God refocuses, and God renews. The journey to new life is not easy. It requires revelation and rest. It requires that we face the realities of life with repentance. But it comes with the promise that God's presence will guide us and ultimately restore us. We must take a step of radical trust that God can meet our needs, that God can bring calm out of the chaos, freedom from our bondage, light to our darkness, new life from Death Valley, delight from despair, and a drum roll of anticipation from our dull drums, as well as stamina, strength, and steadfastness when we are sapped. And when you think about these great things, the Lord is your shepherd, don't forget to drive under the speed limit. Amen.